The $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan passed the U.S. House of Representatives on Saturday with all but two Democrats voting in favor, all Republicans opposing it. The package includes $1,400 checks to many Americans, extra unemployment benefits, funding aimed at helping schools reopen, and money for vaccine distribution and COVID-19 testing. The House version included a $15 minimum wage law that probably won't end up being part of the final bill, which Democrats plan to get through the Senate using the budget reconciliation process. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about what is in this relief bill? Are there changes you'd like to see? Are you disappointed that it's moving along pretty much party lines rather than a bipartisan way? Are you looking for something to happen fast? And would this help your family or business? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Stephen Smith is a professor of social sciences and political science at Washington University in St. Louis. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you.
What stands out to you as the most important parts of this newest COVID-19 relief package?
Well, the most obvious thing is to is the economic stimulus that will come in the form of the $1,400 per person stimulus checks for those who are middle and lower income. And obviously, for those who are on unemployment, the extension of the federal supplement beyond March all the way through August and an increase in the size of that supplement from $300 to $400 per week will make a big difference. I think many liberals will also point to the expansion of the child tax credit and the increase in the child care tax credit, which will make it easier for many families and is a major anti-poverty move on the part of the Democrats.
One of the big arguments, of course, with a $1.9 trillion package is this too much money given the scope of the problem we're up against? What do you think about the scale of this proposed relief package?
Well, you know, I'm not a macroeconomist, but, you know, I read what my friends say, and I trust what many of them say. And their general view is that it's not too large. The economic risks that we've taken and continue to suffer because of the health crisis warrant a big federal stimulus, and this certainly is that. Their view is that interest rates are extremely low, unemployment and the number of underemployed is extremely high. So this is the time to make some necessary investments to get our economy back on track. I think even liberal economists might prefer that some of the funding be targeted differently. But I think most of them would say that their differences with some of the details of the bill are far less important than getting this done quickly.
One argument,
and that's one of the issues here, is that they really need to get it done quickly. We need the stimulus checks and especially the unemployment supplement, and because people are in trouble and they need it very soon.
And one argument from Republicans has been, okay, yeah, some of this might be needed quickly, but some of this isn't going to come into place very soon. And I want to give a listen to Representative Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin talking about the bill last week.
And we saw this with the last bill that worked through Congress. We haven't spent half the money that went through the last bill. We have to be targeted and focused. And I think there's a lot of Republicans, myself included, who are willing to do more to make sure that vaccines get widely distributed, are willing to do more to make sure that hospitals have the cost covered that they're taking on for administering the vaccine. And that's the best way we can actually open up this economy.
And that's a common argument from Republicans saying, hey, a lot of the last package hasn't been spent yet. Defenders of past provisions and the new ones say, well, that's because some of it's, you know, unemployment, for example, that wasn't supposed to be spent right away. It's supposed to be predictable for a period of time. What do you make of that concern?
Well, you got that right, Rob. You know, I have two responses. One is that we went for months with the Republicans in Congress refusing to allow a bill to come up in the Senate and without offering any serious proposals of their own while they were still in the majority in that chamber. So finally, we got a bill in December, well after the election. And of course, it was highly compromised and didn't do quite enough. And we're only a couple of months away from that. But the need is still there. At least that's the, I think, very credible argument on the Democratic side. So part of the issue here is if those were serious concerns for the Republicans, they should have been raised in the summer and a part of a more deliberative, rational process than is possible when we get to this very late date in the process. And, you know, it's still the case that the House Republicans and the Wisconsin congressman is one of them did not propose a comprehensive alternative of their own. So, the time has passed really for those kinds of complaints. It's time now that the unemployment benefit extension is about to expire to get on with passing legislation.
Talking to Stephen Smith from Washington University in St. Louis with the latest on a new COVID relief package passed the U.S. House. Now it is the Senate's turn, probably going to something is likely to pass, probably along party lines. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Susan is with us in Milwaukee. Susan, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up, Susan?
Well, the idea of what the needs were before, the needs are greater, not less. Now, for every single solitary day that they wait to get this moving, we end up with Lord knows how many additional businesses, small businesses that supposedly Republicans love, yeah, right, that are gone. They're gone. They will not be able to come back. They've done everything they could to hang on. All of us have done everything that we could to hang on. This is just so ridiculous that we're still talking about it 5 weeks after the Biden administration came on board, and we're still saying, well, soon, or, and da-da-da-da-da.
Susan, thanks a lot. I take your point. And Steve, Susan worried in particular about the small businesses. There are provisions, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, $25 billion, for example, for restaurants in the package. What does this mean for small businesses, the ones that Susan's worried about to hang on by a thread?
Well, that's right. That's about the restaurants and bar support for those that lost revenue during the pandemic makes up about half of the small business programs that'll be a part of that are a part of this package. There are a variety of other grants and support for small business that add up to about another $25 billion. And many of those small businesses are desperate. And Susan is certainly quite right that once they close, it's very difficult for them to reopen. In addition to that, there are many people who own small rental properties, and they're finding that their tenants cannot pay their rent. This includes rental assistance. And there are many people who are facing, because of their unemployment status or other losses of income, are struggling to meet their mortgage payments. And this bill includes substantial emergency mortgage payment assistance. So there simply is a wide variety of provisions. This is a very large, comprehensive bill. It is important to those people that this get passed quickly. That's one reason the Democrats are unloading some provisions in the bill that many would like to keep in there in order to get quick action on it. Right now, it looks like the Senate might even act on it on Wednesday or Thursday of this week. But if they considered lengthy amendments or substantial modifications, that would be delayed.
Thanks for the call, Susan. We'll go to Ken now in Exelon. Ken, hi.
Thursday of this week, but if they consider
the Ken, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go for it, Ken. What did you want to say?
Yeah, I wanted to say that I do not believe that handing money out like the elite have handed out to each other forever and trickled it down to the rest of us is what we need. We need people to service and work in their community to take care of problems that we have. I don't want free money. I'll take it if they give it to me, but I really don't want it.
Ken, thanks for the call. And that's been a general response, Steve, especially for the stimulus checks, especially for people you know, not in that dire straits, the concern that Ken has about giving out free money to people and the impact that could have?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who would like to see it focused better than it is. The model, of course, is the model that was adopted by the White House of Donald Trump and the Senate Republicans last May, and that is to simply send out checks and to do it quickly. That model never changed, and there never was any serious debate about changing it. I think there should have been that debate, but that debate was blocked over the summer and fall, largely because the Senate Republicans refused to act on legislation. We could have had a far more rational process, but this is what we were left with.
We're picking up our talk with Steve Smith, professor of social sciences and political science at Washington University, looking at the COVID-19 relief bill that passed the U.S. House this weekend, headed to the Senate in the coming days. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Steve, before we go back to our callers, you mentioned, you know, possible changes coming to this bill in the Senate. They have a very narrow margin, one vice president, basically, the Democrats do. What kind of changes could still be in the works at this stage?
Well, the biggest change from the House bill, of course, is the announcement over the weekend that the Democrats will drop the $15 an hour minimum wage provision. That apparently violates the Senate rule that all elements of a reconciliation bill, and this is being treated as a budget bill called reconciliation, all elements of such a bill have to be related to the budget, that is to either revenue or spending. But since an increase in the minimum wage affects mainly the private sector, it's considered to have only an incidental effect on the federal budget and therefore can't be included. To get around that, they've been thinking about creating some tax incentives for businesses to move up their minimum wage. But over the weekend, they decided that was a little too complicated to do in short order. So they've dropped that for the time being. For a similar reason, the House decided not to pursue an eviction moratorium. The president has extended one that was in place when he came into office, and the House Democrats thought they might put that in the bill to extend it for a longer period, put it into law. But they dropped that, too, because it's a regulation that would be imposed on the private sector and have only minor implications for the federal budget. So there are a number of things in here that you might consider to be important that could be in here that you might consider important that they've decided to drop. And the most obvious is the $15 minimum wage.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Kate is with us in Oshkosh. Kate, hello.
I just was going to be talking something about the other previous caller had talked about not necessarily wanting the money because they didn't need it. I myself am a teacher, and I'm lucky enough to have kept my job. But what my partner and I did with my stimulus check, one, he ended up getting laid off, but I myself, we reinvested into a local business, and we also made home repairs that might not have necessarily worked on our previous budget. I've also heard of other people donating to either food banks or other charities in our area if they didn't feel like they necessarily needed their, not refund check, the stimulus check that they had previously had before. So just another thought to put out there in case you didn't necessarily think that you deserved it, but you wanted to make sure it got into the hands of people that did actually need the stimulus check, because although it was enough for some, it was definitely not enough for others.
Kate, thanks a lot for that call. And that was one of the arguments, Steve, for the stimulus check. Even if it didn't all go to people who desperately needed money, the hope was that this flood of money into a lot of families, like Kate's, would go out to a local business, a local contractor, that kind of thing. The fear was people couldn't go out and spend their money at restaurants or travel, so it might just sit in a savings account. Can you talk about how we weigh that argument versus the no, only give it to people who need it argument?
Right. Well, you know, it's economics 101. Even if the money is just put in your bank account, it's there for the banker to lend to small businesses, to help them build their small businesses and keep people employed. The money doesn't literally sit in a mattress. It goes back into the economy, whether you put it into your bank account or spend it right away. So at a time when the economy desperately needed a boost, partly because so many people were unemployed or underemployed, so many people had dropped out of the job market altogether, so many businesses were in danger. Putting that money back in the economy, whether or not any particular individual is as deserving as someone else, putting the money back into the economy was the main purpose. Obviously, some people desperately needed it, and in Kate's case, it was put to good use.
Let's go back to our callers now. Thanks for that call, Kate. John is with us in Boaz. John, hello.
Hi. It sounds like our economy is in a desperate shape, because how are we going to pay for this now three bonuses? Because our interest rates are extremely low, but still we have to borrow money to pay these incentives.
John, thanks a lot for that call. That's a concern, Steve. We talked to the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget last week. They're in support of some of the spending, about a third of it, I think, but not all of it. Concerns about mounting deficits in the overall debt.
Well, sure. We have a huge economy that is struggling a bit. But I think most macroeconomists think that we can handle this debt burden. Right now, we'd be borrowing the money from the private sector at a very, very low interest rate. So now is the time, actually, for the federal government to be investing in the economy, because money's as inexpensive now as it's likely to be in the future. A second concern would be how this much money back into the economy would affect inflation. And because so many people are underemployed and so many businesses are in trouble, the inflation worry really isn't too great. Of course, the same issue was raised last spring, and it was raised in the stimulus package back in 2009 when we were dealing with the Great Recession. And we did not face any significant increase in inflation or interest rates as a result of those efforts. So for the time being, the economy, this is the right time to be borrowing. Whether it's too much or too little, we can argue about that, but this is a good time to be borrowing and investing.
Thanks for the call. Go to John now in Mount Horeb. John, hi.
Hi there. Great conversation. Thanks for doing this. I'm just always kind of, what would it take for our nation's government to try to get major corporations like Amazon to actually pay taxes? And I feel like that, just that company alone, to be putting money back into this whole experiment known as the American idea, I feel like that could take care of so much in terms of deficit, and it could help pay back whatever money was given to us. I mean, we're all sitting here waiting for a $1,400 check, and that's, for some people, that's 1 month's rent. I mean, that's really not going to do much.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Just got a couple of minutes left. Steve, John, looking for more taxes on big companies like Amazon in particular.
Well, what we're seeing for many people like John is action on a much, much larger policy agenda. Undoing the Trump tax cuts, which benefited the largest corporations the most, is one item on the Democrats' long policy agenda. Obviously, civil rights and election reform is another issue. Getting back to the minimum wage is another issue. Doing something about climate change and improving education are other issues. So there's a big agenda here, and the president and the Congress, I think quite reasonably, decided to make a response to the economic and health crisis their number one priority. And of course, there are a number of things tucked into this bill that are only tangentially related to that crisis, but can be neatly included in a budget measure like this one. So there are a number of issues, including tax reform, that is on their agenda, but they've put it on a back burner for now.
Thanks for that call. Steve, I want to take our last minute and look at the politics here. Polls show a lot of support for the general concept of this COVID package. Republicans, like Minority Leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, saying, yeah, but you got to look at the details here. There's a lot of stuff you won't like. So what do you make of the partisan politics over this in just our last minute?
It works pretty well for the president and the Democrats. Its popularity is pretty clear. The Republicans certainly are addressing the concerns of their core Republican constituents, but middle of the road Americans think that we need to do something and to do it quickly. And so I think the political winner will be the Democrats and the president, which shows up not only in the polls on this particular legislation, but in the high approval rating for President Biden.
We'll leave it there. Steve, thanks for joining us again.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Stephen Smith is a professor of political science and social sciences at Washington University. He joined us for a look at the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan. That's moving on to a Senate vote, quite possibly soon, after passing the House this weekend.